Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome in. Final hour of the program tonight, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Jason off tonight, Ryan Holland in his stead. Talked a lot of big picture kind of things related to the health and the next steps for the NBA coming off of the Bucks win last night. Giannis Antetokounmpo, a lot of Chris Paul, a lot of photoshopping by people of Chris Paul in the Lakers uniforms. Oh, wait, they're just using the old photoshops from before that trade got nixed by David Stern years ago when he was a younger, spry man, and all those titles they want annexed for what they might have gotten with Kobe Bryant at the time. But as we get ready for the next evolution next week, we're already talking about the NBA draft, so we'll be doing some mock drafting, as it were. Now's the time for a rebirth in Detroit, perhaps. We'll see how creative some other teams get in terms of packaging and sign and trade moves, because we see Russell Westbrook's name out there as well. So potential chaos and a lot of reconfiguration of the league from what it looked like here. But Jason's off, so Ryan Hollins in with me at the Ryan Hollins, where you find him on Twitter. The podcast, The Opinionated Seven Footers, a great listen. They get brutally honest about players and evaluations, which is great because, look, nothing that you'll ever be accused of, Ryan, is soft-shoeing into any type of discussion about the league.
No, man, I think you just tell it how it is. And, you know, Brendan kind of fits right in, as, you know, we actually had an IG Live earlier with – you know, Rob and Chris and Brendan, and I'm kind of disappointed they jumped me on the IG Live. I didn't see that coming, but the Opinionated Seven Footer is kind of what it's about, man. Myself and Brendan, and we're interviewing, you know, pretty cool guests, you know, NBA guests and, you know, some of our NFL brothers.
Wait a minute. What do you mean they jumped you?
They jumped me. They wanted me to apologize to Giannis, and I told them I'm happy for him. Today we're going to celebrate Giannis, but I don't have an apology for anything I said.
What exactly had you said that they wanted you to apologize for?
Because I just don't believe in his playing style. I think it was a favorable, you know, run here. And, you know, I've had my opinions and still have them about his, you know, MVPs. So, hey, you know, they want an apology. I'm like, apologize for what? Like, I just don't have it.
Look, we have opinions, and obviously the opinion of a player can change. Their game can change over time. And certainly for Giannis, look, all of us, as we analyze game to game, right, it's a watch and react business, right? You're in the moment. The show is today. The show isn't let's look back at what Giannis was as his career ends. It's like, no. It's game three. Okay. What did he do in game three? It's game four. How did he approach game four? Et cetera, et cetera. And there are levels of brilliance, but we're still not seeing an all round game. Here's the thing, it didn't need to be, right? Would we like to, in our grand scheme, see a guy hit a jump shot consistently? He answered at least for one game the free throw question, but that still needs to come up. But having a mid-range game, having to keep guys honest. And again, I bring up Ayton certainly bought that ball fake off the three-point arc and went, got taken to the rack. So that's a play that will live from these finals as well. He sold it well for a guy that really doesn't take a lot of them. But when he does and the ball's flowing through his hands, sometimes there are decisions that leave you wanting. But we talk about it all the time. Jason and I certainly have, Ryan, and this is, I guess, where we align with you in the argument, is league always wants a new face. They need a new storyline. Like, they like their superstars. Don't get me wrong. They're never going to turn down another LeBron or Steph run or even KD. Why? Because they're polarizing. Right? You say, well, Steph's polarizing? Yeah, because there's
As soon as you say his name, they're going.
There's enough excitement. Like, we talked about it, just classifying him as a point guard. But as soon as you've won and you've gotten over, the line starts to start picking apart your game. And LeBron's been in it 2 decades at this point. Whether it's off the court commentary or just bouncing around and recruiting people, some don't like the player empowerment and deciding you're going to move on and move to your next spot. And look, that's their prerogative. I just always argued when they went to Miami and Dwayne Wade, I don't know if he got to literal tears, but kind of got down that road. And LeBron didn't recognize that you'd become villains instantly by doing this, by teaming up. Mm-hmm. Like that, like once you do it and you go NWO and you start spray painting that you're now the new kids in town,
ain't looking back.
You have to embrace it. And I think over time, now that he's towards the end of his run, LeBron leans in a little more than he used to. He certainly did off the Space Jam reviews when it was announced that they made, well, when they made $32 million at the box office and the headline said displaces Black Widow for number one.
Oh, yeah.
He certainly leaned and going, hi, haters. Okay, so that's fine. But on the court, it's the same thing. If you bounce around, recognize there's certain people, certain influential people on TV, print, radio, that are going to say, okay, you didn't take a straight line. You picked and you chose and you recruited and all those others. And that's where we get into those Michael versus LeBron arguments that folks have made their careers on. And I'll let them continue to do so. It is what it is. But for Giannis, we look at his game at this point of saying there's still work to be done. And I think he'd, in an honest moment, would tell you that he's not finished either, I would hope.
Yeah, no, I don't take that from him that he's saying he's a finished product. I mean, in fact, you know, whether he believed it or not, and I'm kind of torn on this. You know, when Kevin Durant, you know, got the best of Giannis and Giannis refused to go over and guard him, you know, this wasn't but 2 playoff series ago. Why everybody going, he's the best on the planet and apologize to Giannis. He didn't want to guard Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant had 50. And because his team wasn't fully healthy, you're missing a whole nother, literally a whole nother superstar, all-star, whatever you want to crown him as, and they lose the game in overtime where they had him on their heels, literally, like this was 2 series ago where he could not guard Kevin Durant. So, you know, is he the best player on the planet? No. Do we admire what he did? Absolutely. But you do have to take your hats off to Giannis for just doing what he should do. You know, too often in sport, a team has an advantage, and they don't take care of it. You know, the door opens, and you don't walk through that door. You know, Mike, you know this better than I do. We can go through every sport where a team looked like they were shooing for a championship or they had the gold moment, and they couldn't get the job done.
Well, hats don't off. Get cute. Don't outthink the room.
And Giannis didn't get
and
cute.
And right now, you're looking at, in your mind's eye, all of you out there, you're thinking about, because he was part of the Seattle Kraken draft coverage today, Marshawn Lynch not getting the ball at the 1 yard line.
Yep.
A play that will live in infamy and changes some of the legend, not in the moment. Like, you appreciate it now, but we're talking a generation from now.
Yeah.
This kept Russell Wilson from being one of those guys.
And kept Tom Brady untouchable.
Right? And all of those things, right? It spins off a bunch of narratives in the moment, and you can go through every sport and find those. Don't outthink the room. For Giannis, bully ball worked against the Suns. Going away from bully ball made no sense. And you saw it last night in full effect on both ends. Because he straight up, I mean, I don't even know what the term you would use to what he did to DeAndre Ayton. Like, he showed himself as a young player, and he's going to be great. This is one that you learn.
Yeah.
Monty Williams talked about it as a coach. You learn. And he didn't have the personnel to go bully ball against the Bucks. But as soon as Giannis did, there was no turning back.
Nah, he did. And he was excellent. And that's what I said. Like, are there limitations in his game? Yeah. Like, was that a good matchup? Yeah. Like, it absolutely worked out. And, you know, we're not going to pretend that that same style of basketball didn't get Giannis knocked out of the playoffs the 2 years prior. You know, it's not one of those, you know, it wasn't a situation like, you know, oh, man, Giannis just missed a tough shot. No, he was ineffective. That basketball was ineffective. But, you know, hats off to him. He stayed. And, you know, by the luck of the draw, things worked out. they did. They worked out for Milwaukee, and you got to be ecstatic. You got to be happy. And at the same time, I think you just keep yourself in line because you're not looking at, you know, this wasn't the Warriors where you're like, man, they could win this every year. They're likely not going to be the favorites to win a championship next year. You understand that, right?
Well, as of now, they are behind the Nets.
Yeah,
certainly. Within
they're not ease. The yeah, they're not the favorite. Like, this is not rocket science, and I know a lot of right, Mike. Like, there's a lot of people. Oh, you know, Giannis is like.
Well, we
appreciate him for what he is, man.
We start getting into dynasties and goats and whatever, and I get it. You want to push clicks and whatever. One championship doesn't get you into goat conversation. It's like when folks start throwing Aaron Rodgers into goat conversation. Like, you got there once. Just because you have a high QBR doesn't mean you finish the job. And he's gotten to a couple of NFC title games because, see, we got our obligatory Aaron Rodgers not in. Why? Because he's also an NBA champion because he's part of the ownership
this
group.
Is,
so
this,
he bested Larry Fitzgerald, who's still without a champion.
This may be the equivalent of, and, you know, I don't know, maybe my NFL brothers can help me here. This is imagine if, you know, if Cam Newton, you know, in his big year won the Super Bowl. You know, where would we be placing Cam Newton if Cam Newton, you know, declined after that or wherever he went? And you knew there, you know, potentially there were holes in Cam's game. But Cam played a favorable matchup in the championship game, you know. So when you look at Giannis, you knew there were holes in his game. And it's applauding that he only missed two free throws. You know, that's a big thing for a guy that you want to say is the best in the league or a superstar. You're just supposed to make free throws. So, you know, hats off, man. He's tenacious. And I think the biggest thing is he lives up to the name the Freak. You know, Mike, we talked about this earlier. You know, is he a big guy? He don't move like a big guy. You know, he's got some wiggle. He can bring the ball up court, but he's definitely not a guard. He's the Greek. He's in every sense of the word the Greek Freak. You can't really label what he is on the floor. He just plays basketball, and you do your best to fit around him. And I think that Milwaukee also, they grew up as a team. Not just Giannis as a team, and found out how to utilize him to play to the best of his abilities. And you and for me, I love it. That's great. But you never, like, go, like, hey, let's, you know, Let's help Kevin Durant. Let's hide Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant, just stay in that corner. No, Kevin Durant scores from everywhere on the floor. Like, LeBron James gets the ball, the other four guys listen, and then you win a championship. You know what I'm saying? So Giannis does have limitations, but he's been excellent in his role, man. He's such an intriguing guy. We don't know. Analysts don't know. Former players don't know really how to assess what he is, man. And his numbers are there with Jordan, with Hakeem, you know, MVP, Defensive Player of the Year, World Champ. Like, he's there with the best of the best at 26 years of age.
Well, and he got to that world title before the other did, right? When you start
however you look at it
and checking those boxes, and we talk about that team growing together, you bring in PJ Tucker, you look at Drew Holiday and what they meant, but the base of this squad was there. Eastern Conference folks will always take their shots, as they will along the way, and we'll see what happens with the next iteration of the Sixers. I'll leave it to you to decide how much you want to give Ben Simmons blame for his game limitations versus, well, it's Doc Rivers and another series loss, expectations, etc. But when we look at the next iteration of the Bucks, you're right. Betting wise, I think they're 8-1 to start for next season. You've got a couple of the usual suspects up in there, but there's going to be a lot of change. Like, we know this, and even on their team, are they getting Bobby Portis back? We haven't even talked about how instrumental he was last night.
Bobby Portis is going to get paid, man.
But you don't win that game without him. And that's a guy I remember in Chicago. He was rudderless.
You don't win this series without him.
No, but that's just
good.
It, right?
He
how
changed
good
a lot.
He was. And now he's a guy that can go get paid. And so, hometown discount, or is this a guy that says, I got to go max?
Nah, he hasn't gotten that big payday. He's got to make the most money he can make right now.
See, that's where I always go, and I know folks hate to hear that, and that loyalty thing comes up, but you're not guaranteed another. I mean, go back to his career. He's already made a couple of stops, and as much as he's beloved by the fans, that doesn't pay the bills.
No.
You got to set up your generational wealth as much as folks may not like to hear it.
It's like when they ask, when someone said, is Zion going to leave? Is he, it's like, no, Zion is going to get paid. And then after he gets paid and gets that big, nice 4 or 5 year deal, then he may consider leaving. He's going to take that first paycheck.
But there's a dude, though, that I could see the window open a sliver because he's already gotten the massive shoe deal.
Nah, he's still got
to
get it.
Not that everybody doesn't have their bag.
I hear you,
but he's already got a lot of cash off the shoe deal that he can take a little less on that first big deal.
Nah, not on the first one. The second max contract, then you can pull your Jimmy Butlers. You can flirt with the, I want out of here. You can get your James Harden on, but the first one, no. You got because especially Zion. He's injured. He can't play around, dude.
That's what I was just going to bring up, because you got that other where you're slamming the window shut is just that of getting through. Like this year it was a fluky finger thing, but it still goes on the list.
Always something, man. Always right? something. You got to maintain weight, while you're out and waiting and rehabbing.
I got to tell you, though, watching that guy play when he's right, that's a lot of fun. And for folks who haven't experienced it, you'll get plenty of national opportunities for Zion. Will it lead to playoff berths? Well, we'll see what they do with that roster coming up. But he's Ryan Hollins. I'm Mike Harmon. This is Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Coming up next, we get into the conversation about name, image, likeness, and the changing face of college sports.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. On Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Welcome back in. It's Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Ryan Hollins in tonight for Jason. And we're having some fun going around the world of sports. The Olympics are on. We've been watching some softball, watched some soccer earlier, way earlier in the day here. Started 1:30 a.m. Pacific time. My daughter got up and made herself brownies.
Hey,
it's really cool.
Hey,
and I made myself another cup of coffee. I don't know that that's good for me long term, and maybe it stunted my growth. Maybe I would have been an opinionated 7-footer.
How soon did you pick up coffee?
I broke my leg playing basketball in high school and almost lost it.
Excuse me?
Yeah. I went up for a shot and I got kind of bumped and I tried to land and I landed straight leg and it just shattered.
Oh, gosh.
Right around the knee and swelled to some 20 times its size. So they feared nerve damage in the whole nine yards. So it was keep wiggling your toes because, we're creating an emergency situation potentially. And so it was in October and there were a bunch of horror movies on and they're like, you need anything? It's like, well, it's as good a time as any if I got to stay up, but I don't want to drink a bunch of Coke or Pepsi or whatever. It's like, could I have a cup of coffee? Tried it, and that's been basically hooked me to an IV ever since.
So you feel like you could have been taller?
Well, I don't know. There's not a lot of height in my family.
Have you grown since then?
No.
Since you started taking coffee, you haven't grown?
I had actually had not grown, I don't even think, before that. Like, I think I got to 12, maybe 13. Because here's your moment of truth. Like I played like everybody did. We went seasons, right? So baseball, basketball, football, Chicago, Catholic League, whatever. Played some nose tackle, some linebacker, offensive tackle. But whatever. You had people asking, hey, for your entrance exam, where are you going to take it? All of those kind of things, right? And called every night at dinner time. Whatever, because I think they were thinking if I could grow another 3 or 4 inches,
wow,
maybe I could play some linebacker or something. I didn't grow.
Huh?
So end of grade school, I'm as tall as I was then.
Wow.
Unfortunately. And I didn't get my dad's foot speed or his jump shot. So here I am. As I raise another cup of coffee to y'all here, wherever you may be here, across our great Fox Sports Radio family. Name, image, likeness, Ryan. When I say those words to you, do you get excited? Do you get nervous? What do you think about this from a global scale? And we'll get down into some granular in a moment. But I say those things to you. What's the first that goes through your head?
I get angry. The reason I get angry when I hear name, image, likeness is because you start to realize how much money these kids should have been making, how much money they've been worth. When you're seeing guys getting in the millions and you're starting to realize that they had been held back for no reason at all, other than greed, not just to say we won't pay you NCAA, but somebody else can't pay you. That is absolutely criminal in my opinion. And now you're really, really seeing your worth.
Well, I would argue to, not to dismiss it, but the opportunities I think are greater than they were even a decade ago. Not to say you weren't going to be able to hold a big bag if you were the star, here, insert QB,
absolutely,
big star, basketball, there, whatever, but the opportunities to get on board via social media and what the internet's become in terms of that transactional marketplace, I think is different.
Here's the deal. Everyone around you is a professional. Strength coach has a professional salary.
Mm-hmm.
Your coach definitely has a professional salary. Held to professional standards. Heck, your wins and losses determine his job opportunities.
Absolutely.
But you're not compensated for them, and nobody else can compensate you for it. Some of these kids will never be pros, maybe not major pros, but guess what? They are the man or the woman at their school, their respective schools.
Well, and that's where I guess the side argument gets in, and I know Doug Gottlieb on our network, I don't want to speak for Doug on the entirety of the thing and the discussion of NIL and payment of athletes. We always discount what that scholarship is worth when we have these conversations, because it becomes the athlete gets nothing. It's like, well, no. As someone who borrowed full freight, a little bit of parental contribution and my work study job and whatever else, like there's a value to be had. Do you get the same flow to your schedule necessarily? No. But you have access to myriad, as an athlete, training table and tutors and other things that I would probably have to pay out of pocket for, or go, you know, trade favors and help and hours of, yeah, I'll move you in it, you know, to help me in a class or whatever. So, I mean, there is compensation, even if it wasn't dollars lining your pocket.
I think that it's not for everybody. And when I hear that, I really question the integrity of the schools, because if you have a guy who can, you know, run a 4.3 and bench 225, you know, 40 times, they're going to work with the guy who has struggling grades.
Sure.
It's the Stanfords and the schools like that that are going to say, nah, man, if you ain't 3.5 plus and, you know, whatever SAT, like, we're not bringing you in. We're not making those cuts. You see what I'm saying? So the schools are hypocritical because they don't value the education at the same way, and they just want you to play ball because that equals money. But I do agree there is a value of a scholarship.
And opportunity. I mean, if you want to take advantage of it.
If you want to.
And I think that's a big part. And this is where the split is, right? Because I've always argued that the deal between the NCAA and NFL of 3 years removed from high school is nonsense. If a team... stop protecting them from themselves. If they want to bring a guy in as developmental project,
yep,
you know, hey, we see, and it's probably going to take a year or two for you to fully develop. We want to draft you, so we've got you. Why you can't do that? But certainly when the case for college basketball players, as it stood out, now you could go to Europe all this time for the year if you wanted to, mm-hmm, but how many of us were going to go run around Europe at 17 years old without our family?
Yep.
And in a number of those cases of leagues, you guys can read about it at your leisure. Google it all you want. A lot of guys never actually get the paychecks they're promised, depending on the league that they end up in.
You're right about that.
That's a whole other. Some of them get fat. I mean, I knew guys from Northwestern who, because of their height, they were a commodity. Were they skilled big men? We could fight about it a little bit. But they had everything paid for. They did quite well for themselves and had a grand old time. But the point is that you still have that year. So the commitment on the education side to be eligible for your one season might not be there. Now, the door is always open It's never been easier to actually get a degree if you were so inclined to go back and do it, right? I could get one now while we do this show in
my
underpants.
Check this, Mike. So, like, let's say I know I'm not good. I'm a scholarly athlete at UCLA, per se, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I know I'm not going to be a pro. So I said, you know what, man? I'm at this fine institution. Let me get the most out of it. Let me go to the business school. Let me go to the, you know, the medical school, you know, UCLA School of Medicine. I want to do that so that I can get the most bang out of my buck and set myself up to make athlete money, even though I don't think I have a career in athletics. That does not mix in with your athletic obligation. Athletic obligation, in which saying that you have to make it to practice, you have to play in games, you can't go to that UCLA School of Business. They're not making exceptions so that the athletes can do so. I played with Jordan Farmar, who wanted to join the School of Business, couldn't do it. Josh Rosen, who was quite vocal as far as, you know, being a student athlete and saying, man, you guys are pulling us in between. I can't be the best student I can be, nor can I be the best athlete I can be because I'm not in the gym 24/7. I got papers to write. So make up your mind, NCAA.
Well, because that's part of the evolution of this, right? Nick Saban talked about it in SEC Media Days. We'll get his quote. And something else he revealed about his soon-to-be starting quarterback and the dollars and cents. Yeah, we'll make sense of it in a minute. Ryan Hollins in for Jason Smith. I'm Mike Harmon. And I mentioned Kofi Coburn, one of the men. Mm-hmm. He went out of the transfer protocol and the portal. And all of these other guys who've withdrawn their name, I think the count was reaching triple digits at last I saw of early entrants because NIL opens the door, right? Mm-hmm. Juzang coming back to UCLA is, what's my draft grade?
Oh, yeah.
Wait, I'm 38th? Wait, that's second round. I'm guaranteed nothing. Mm-hmm. All right, I'm back. And how many other guys did the same math going, all right, I'm not guaranteed an NBA contract. I don't want to go overseas. I don't quite buy what you're selling in these other fledgling leagues here and what you're trying to offer me. So I can go back to UCLA, get whatever more coursework in on my degree, and I can go make money off NIL, particularly look at UCLA in Hollywood. Come on.
He's likely going to make more at UCLA than he would for sure in a rookie year.
Right, because he would probably not have a guaranteed contract. And even if he did at the back, even if he went in the back end of the first, it's guaranteed. But what is it, a million one or something like that?
Think about being a man. You're going Aaron Donald, Rams, LeBron James, Lakers, Kawhi Leonard, Clippers, Johnny Juzang, Bruins. If I'm an advertiser, and let alone like I want a college demographic, I can push these guys now. No, I can sell them.
But that's the point. It's like there's money to be had. We talk about and want to just pay this off. Nick Saban talking about how much you're looking at is incoming quarterback Bryce Young approaching $1 million in endorsement deals. And here was his quote talking about NIL, because there are going to be some unintended consequences to these things, as there always are. You don't know how it'll affect things. The question is, because it won't be equal. Everything we've done in the past has been equal scholarships. And so how this will impact your team, I can't answer because we don't have any precedent. I mean, guys
we're
get treated, right? Guys get treated well, and we're not naive, right? Some folks are getting some benefits, and then it's just how do you stay off the NCAA's radar so they don't come back on you? Insert Reggie Bush and whatever else, and the longstanding ramifications of things there. But we don't know, you know, for the teammates, right? And we've seen some players say, all right, this is going to be split equally. Everybody's going to get a taste of our success and what I'm able to get, which is great. But that's not everywhere. And suddenly guys rolling up in, you know, his $80,000 car that he did, you know, 2 hours of autographs and handshakes, and the rest of the guys aren't getting that. So there's going to be some locker room stuff that's going to have to be hashed out. It means a lot more jobs because you're going to have people in those locker rooms. And to your point earlier, now's the opportunity to bridge back into the academics, right? Because college basketball will be better this year because all those guys came back.
Oh, yeah.
But it's also the opportunity for all these schools to go back and look at your curriculum. All right, how do we tailor this? Not only that you can profit, but you can learn about how to keep this going and what's happening with your business. So now you have a certification or a degree or something that you build in to the athletic programs themselves.
Yeah, you know, there's going to be a responsibility for these kids to be eligible to play. You're going to be looking at your coach going like, hey, dog, like you're holding me back. If you featured, this is money.
Right.
So if I'm coming off the bench and you've taken, and I already had a, you know, an endorsement deal worth X, Y, and Z. How's that going to work? Talk about, they're celebrity kids. So we're now going to put a celebrity kid in the game because he's got, you know, 2 million followers over another kid? Is the athletic director going to come down and, hey, man, we need you to push this guy because this is money. We got to deal with Samsung for him to be, you know, our starting guy. What's up? What's going on?
That's just it.
You already committed to him.
But that's the whole point, is that it all starts to be get back into a melded, blended pot and trying to separate the school from the coaching to the players. It becomes a bit of an unseemly business because while you don't have quote-unquote agents, you now have marketing agents. And you know what? They're the same damn people, just under a different title.
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead.
I think we'll continue with this, and I want to address some of the numbers off the SEC story when it comes to Texas and Oklahoma. We've got that. We'll get deeper into that tomorrow as Pete Futek will join us on the program and in the ins and outs. But I wanted, because Fenley's done the updates all night on this, there's a couple of financial details that have to be addressed, and we're talking about a lot of commas and zeros to make it all make sense. He's Ryan Hollins in for Jason Smith. I'm Mike Harmon, and this is Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back in. Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Jason off tonight. Thanks to the team. Brian Fenley was on the updates. Chris Perfett, our technical producer. Pride of Detroit.
Woo!
The blog. Read all the latest there. And Ricky learning on the executive producer board. Appreciate it. He kept me caffeinated and hyped all night. And, of course, Ryan Hollins at The Ryan Hollins on Twitter. The Opinionated Seven Footers is the podcast. IG Live, what's the IG account?
Just Ryan Hollins.
Just right Ryan Hollins. Right now, there you Ryan go. Hollins. Hey, a reminder. Hey, if you're dealing with a dead battery, you can head to AutoZone, America's number one battery destination. They offer free battery services like free battery testing and free battery charging. Their free battery testing can help you know if you need a new battery or not. And if you do happen to need a new replacement battery, they can help with that too. They've got reliable replacement batteries. Get this, starting at just $79.99. And they're the only place you can find proven tough Duralast batteries. So next time you're having battery trouble, head to AutoZone, your battery solution and America's number one battery destination. Now, a story that's just starting to set sail here is this Texas and Oklahoma potential move to the SEC. Texas A&M planted their flag. See what I did there? In terms of saying, hey, this is we're the standalone in Texas. We want that identity. This is our conference. Stay away. And there's a couple of things that get into it from the financials. Not only do you need the votes of the SEC schools to get you in, but you're also looking at, well, making restitution and the dollars and cents. And the TV rights stay with the Big 12 until the contract expires in 2025. The schools would also forfeit their percentage of the media payouts, the revenue split, which in 2019, they distributed almost $400 million between the schools. So that's 2 years plus that they would lose out in revenue. And now it becomes, from the financial part of being part of the SEC when you're pretty much guaranteed playoff money every year versus being the number one school and number two school from a branding perspective, right? Texas has its own network.
Yeah.
Oklahoma's a beast. And while we can talk about the on-field exploits, good, bad, ugly, and Oklahoma's obviously been great, and Texas trying to find their way and become Texas again, that I don't know that it makes sense from a football perspective to go to the SEC, to go battle to be, to recruit against those schools, which you do anyway, to a degree, but now face-to-face, right, and head-to-head in conference, to where you're maybe the fourth team, fifth team in those conferences most year. It seems foolish to me from a football standpoint and from a monetary standpoint to give up what you're at. If anything, Texas should be looking at independence and go to the Notre Dame route.
No, I think you hit it right. You didn't say anything wrong. Yeah, they could go independent, but this is all about football. That's the moneymaker. But from a recruiting standpoint, you know, selling to your recruits that you're going to be competing against the league's best. So, you know, if I want to play or I'm aspiring to make it to the NFL or the NBA, I've got to play against that caliber of player. And the SEC, you know, you can almost go to the league off of having good games in conference. You know, it's not like, you know, until the playoff is set up correctly, you know, they're going to have to do that in conference. So now you boost the profile of your recruiting because you can promise that you're going to get to go against the nation's best. So it will help in that sense, but I see Texas makes sense. Oklahoma's the one getting pulled along.
It's going to be an interesting process to watch over these next couple of days. More announcements. Tomorrow we'll get into this a little bit deeper. He's Ryan Hollins, at the Ryan Hollins on Twitter. Find me over at Swollen Dome. I just like when the dollars start moving. And we're talking about expanding the playoffs. Mike Leach wants 64 teams. Madness, I tell you. Thanks so much.